open it up to Coach first.
First, thanks for being here, guys. They handed me the shirt on the way in. Athletic department supporting the tornado victims. So just, I didn't put it on. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, on behalf of our team and all of our staff and families, everyone affected, you know, my neighbors, your neighbors, just wanted to express our gratitude for all the people that came to help, and knowing that everyone in the state's going to help moving forward, and our thoughts and prayers with people affected. So obviously in the game, Demetrius went down with a significant injury, and Bly Hill what looks like maybe a semi-significant injury. So both of their patellas, I don't know, long term, I hate to speak till those MRIs done and all that, but looks like it could be somewhat significant for each. So from a football perspective, obviously, though, that those two injuries hurt. From a personal perspective, you know, they really hurt. I know both guys are tremendous competitors and young players, and they'll bounce back and be great. And but just wanted to start with that. And then finally, I thought the crowd, you know, for an early game, everything that happened yesterday, to have, you know, over 60,000 people there, what a great message in recruiting, what a great message to our team. And hopefully we brought people some joy today on, you know, a dark day after yesterday. So with that, happy to answer all your questions.
You said that you were looking for a red-white shootout. Did the offense show you what you wanted to see from them today?
I mean, there were some explosive plays. There were some extended drives. You know, some big plays. You know, I have to probably watch the film to see kind of who did what. You know, obviously sometimes, you know, maybe some players are matched up against a player that's just maybe older than them or better than them. But I thought there was a lot of positive energy in terms of the way the offense conducted themselves, got in and out of the no huddle, sometimes got in a huddle. You know, just the overall feel from the field where I was felt really good. And so those are the things I was looking for. Obviously the two turnovers back-to-back I didn't like. Happy that the defense made those plays. And then I felt for the rest of the game that, you know, some plays were made that, you know, we have to make.
Is that a pretty fitting summary of Dylan's spring?
That's a great question. I don't know how to answer that, to be honest with you. Usually, you don't get tongue twisted very often, but I think Dylan's had a very good spring. You know, the plays I liked, you know, I was up doing the radio, TV at one point. You know, that one where we kicked a field goal that we missed, you could see he wanted so badly to throw the ball back across the middle of the field as he was scrambling, and he didn't. The one scramble he ends probably a sack. You know, but he's got two hands on the ball as he's running, so. It's gonna be the little things with Dylan, not the big things, right? He's got a great feel for the game. He's got a big time arm. He's calm. It's gonna be the little things. It's gonna be protecting the football, taking three, managing the game. I thought it just felt like he did a lot of those things, but he hasn't done all of them. He's grown as the spring's gone on. So he, like all the rest of our players, I think, had a chance today to just improve on what they did last week, and I thought in a lot of ways he did.
What kind of jump did Jalen Lloyd make this spring, especially with his speed and Dylan Bond? How much more can he showcase if he gets free like he did today?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with Jalen is his ball skills just continue to improve, and it's really a credit to like Marcus and Garrett. You know, they've introduced drills that I've always been against. You know, deep down inside, I'm just a D-line coach, right? Like I want to like. You know, they do pat and go and all these drills, and I'm like, I was always against them. But we started doing them, and the guys have just bought in and gotten better and better and better. From the first scrimmage to this scrimmage, the ball skills, the catching of the football has just improved, and I think Jalen's one of the prime guys with that. It's one thing when guys have great speed, but when you're like a triple jumper and when you're long jumper, he has such athleticism and mobility, so he can track balls. He's loose. He can you know, track it over his shoulder, and he plays hard. So when the quarterbacks get outside the pocket, he can turn up. And to be honest with you, Dylan has the ability to get outside the pocket and make those big throws. And Heinrich can throw the ball 75 yards. And so you have a feeling that, hey, I can turn up on these plays. Danny, I don't know if you saw him get outside and throw one down the field today, but he's got a big time arm, can do it as well. So it's contagious. But Jalen's been one of the most improved players on the team. His becoming a receiver is just growing exponentially.
This is the first time we've seen Ja'Cory Barney. What's that look like all spring? Is that like Brian asked about the QB? Is that what this looked like all spring?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I felt bad for him. I think he thought the kicker was the same color jersey. I was watching that one on TV. But, yeah, you know, the kickoff return's hard to tell, right, because it's not live. But I watched the TV replay up there. I think Kobe grabbed his flag, and that's it. So, but Ja'Cory's dynamic, and he's tough. You know, he's still learning a lot. Like, you know, they jumped off sides, and he took off before the ball was snapped because he saw them jump off sides. So he's really a smart player. But he's really, really competitive, really fast. And, you know, if we can bring just a little bit of that kick return dynamic to our team, that changes things. And then, you know, he can play all three spots because he is quick and fast and can catch the ball across the middle.
The ball that he caught over the middle on 3rd and 13, and then also the ball that going through the Bullock that was over the middle, those seem to have a bit of a different kind of zip to them than what we've seen. Is that something that allows Dylan to stand out, the ability to make those kind of throws?
You know, I'm not going to compare the guys, you know, I mean, I don't know if I can prepare to do that. I think the thing that Dylan has done really well this spring as a young player is sometimes young quarterbacks can pass on, he's kind of covered, whereas Dylan knows the ball's supposed to go there. He's going to throw it there. And if he throw it on his back shoulder, he'll throw it where he needs to throw it and then trust those guys to go make those plays. You can't play quarterback and receiver. You can only play quarterback. And so you've got to throw the ball away from the defender and let the guys go make the plays. And so I think all of our quarterbacks have done that, but you saw that today from him. And I thought that was a big, to your point, that was a big time catch. Making that, the four verticals to Bullock, that's kind of something like, I think we do pretty well. We're a pretty good four vertical team. I think later on when I was up at the TV booth, did we hit Borkature on one down the seam? I think Heinrich did. So we do that well, but the in cuts and control in the middle of the field is really important to us. And I think one of the major keys to that, Mitch, is throwing the ball below the chin so that the ball is in a catchable space, but if there's a tip, it's not up in the air. That's what happened on the triple slant interception, right? The ball is a little bit behind, a little bit high, you know, in the red zone tips equal picks. And so, to me, we're just constantly evolving those areas. But Dylan has a great feel for that, and the thing he does is he just trusts that the ball is supposed to go there. I'm going to put it where the defender isn't and let the guy make a play, and those guys made those plays. Yeah. So, you know, Janarin, I think he's an NFL fullback, but I also think he's a dynamic wideout too. And I think it's a credit to Corey that, you know, the way that Janarin's really improved, continued to improve his body. But he's in that 218 range. And so, to me, he is a true weapon. You know, he's a guy that we could conceivably play at wideout for 10 plays in a row, or we could motion in, and he'll block defensive ends. He carried the football for us last year. But what I love is you see the perimeter screen game that we have going on, but you have to have a 220-pound wideout out there blocking their nickel, that helps. Then you put Nayor and Jamal out there. You have some big men on the perimeter. So I'm really pleased with what Wood's done, Janarin's done, and I think he'll continue to evolve, and you'll see him line up in a lot of different places in the offense.
Does Fedoni move better than he did last spring?
You know, I don't know. He's a pretty explosive guy. I mean, he's 4'5", you know. I think the biggest thing with Thomas is, you know, at the end of the season, I said to Thomas, I was like, what a great fall we had. You know, meaning him, like us, we had. He's like, what do you mean? He is. What I love about Thomas Fedoni, man, he's never happy. He's never happy. And it's because he wants to be great. He wants to be the best tight end in the world. And he's always trying to get better. But my point was, coming off two ACLs, to get through a spring, a fall camp, and a season healthy. That's what he needed. Because now, instead of rehabbing this winter, he's lifting. And he's in the 260 range at 4'5", with, you know, 35-inch arms, 34-inch arms. He's a physical freak. And he's loyal. You know, every team in the country is trying to get him to leave and go there. And the kid's he's Nebraska Cornhusker through and through. So I love that guy. And I love his approach. And it's still good for our players to see a guy who's like, who's so obsessed with being great and never happy, you know what I mean? But at the same time, to your point, he just had to have a true off season. He just had to have weightlifting where he's not rehabbing, and now I think you're starting to really see what he can do.
Would you rest any of those veterans today? I mean, the guys that you had been resting, or sitting, not resting, but sitting out. Don't want to use that rest word.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, I made them all warm up, you know, like Keese and Giff and – Ty and Nash, those guys didn't play. You know, I told Tommy not to, and then Tommy, typical Tommy Hill, he's out there the whole first series playing corner. You know, he's like, he just said, let me get a series, coach. Let me get a series. And I'm like, all right, go get a series. And he's out there. I mean, I love that guy. I love his competitive nature. Bryce, Ben Scott, and then other guys who played. We kind of set numbers for them. Hey, let's get this guy 3 series. Let's get this guy 4 series. It was hard at wideout because we're thin, right? And then once we lost D-Bell, we're really thin. You know, Jaden Doss played 2 ways today for us. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but he played corner, he played wideout. So, you know, Jaden's a guy that we think is really, really special, and we're just trying to foster a bunch of different talents for him.
What strides do you think Heinrich Harburg has made since last season?
Well, I think you saw a lot of this. He still had the ability to tuck the ball down and run, right? He's truly a dual-threaded quarterback who can change the game. But I love him taking what's there. I love him, you know, being explosive, pushing the ball down the field, deep balls down the field, elite balls in the middle of the field. And but I also love him moving within the pocket, taking check downs, taking a bad play and getting out of it. You know, I think it's really, really important in our job, you know. You guys haven't asked the question yet. At some point, you guys are like, "What are you gonna name a starter?" You know, I go to dinner with Eric Crouch, and Eric tells me that his entire rookie season, or freshman year, here, he had to wait. He couldn't sleep on Friday nights because on Saturday morning they'd go to breakfast before the game, and then Coach Gill would tell them who was starting that week, and like that is Nebraska, like, you know. And so, what I love is we're gonna focus on Dylan. I get that, but you can see the improvement in Heinrich. You know, you can see Danny as a true freshman go out there and complete 60% of his balls, whatever he did today. You know, it's just, I want the quarterback play to be great, you know? And so each guy from there then has to bring their own unique sensibility, right? You know, Dylan kind of makes these types of plays. Heinrich can make these types of plays. I personally believe it's going to take all of us to play pretty well at the quarterback position in the Big Ten. I personally believe throughout the course of a season, like, we have aspirations of regaining Nebraska's place and winning national championships. How many games is that now to win a national championship? And between the Big Ten championship game, if you don't have a bye, it's 15 or 16 games, yes? Play one quarterback through that. So I think, you know, just watching Heinrich blossom and get better, you know, is so, so important. Watching Danny, watching Dylan, you know, Luke and Jack went out there and they moved the football. Like, I just want the quarterback play to be good, and I think it's a credit to Glenn. He's done a really nice job with them.
Did the spring tell you anything? Come to the realization that you're set there, that, like, you have everything you need at the
No, I wouldn't say that. No, I would never say that.
As far as, like, the guys on the roster.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I would say we would always look for quarterback. I mean, if there's a quarterback that comes along, we would always take another quarterback. I think we have our starter sitting in that room. Let me say that. Okay, I think we have 3 guys that we believe in. But, you know, if a young player comes along or depth player comes along, we certainly – you know, I don't go looking in the portal, but I also am not stupid when things come across to us. We're always, you know, I look, Scott Fitter was the GM when I was in Carolina. He used to say from the Seahawks, we're in on every trade. And so he just would explore everything. So, but I think we have quarterbacks capable of winning for us. And I think the quarterback play significantly improved from last season. And, you know, that's kind of where we're at.
What's your plan for the next few days, just with the portal and the deadline that they wanted? You try to meet with everybody before May 1st?
So what I do at the end of every spring is I have a team meeting on Monday, and then they meet with their position coach, and then they all meet with me over the course of, you know, however many days. So I'll be available Monday. I'll be available Tuesday. I've had so many guys already come and talk to me about, you know, like I said, you can kind of tell, like, there's a lot of tampering happening in college football. I got guys, like I said earlier in the press conference, guys showing me their phone, guys showing me this. So, you know, if a player is urgent and they're trying to make a decision about going to the portal, then they'll sign up early for their meeting with me. If, you know, a lot of guys, most of the team's probably pretty set, they'll sign up maybe later in the week with me, or maybe next week. So, but that's kind of on them, you know. We kind of have our process. We meet with every single player, go through, like, kind of where they stand right now. We can't make promises for the future. And I think the biggest thing that I'd say is, you know, I think wanting them always to understand, like, everyone's going to have your back. Everyone's going to say positive. Everyone's going to tell you what you want to hear when things are going well. When you're one of the top players, you know, and they're trying to get you in the portal. When you're Demetrius or Blyan, you're laying in there and you have tears running down your face and you don't know what's going to happen to you. Who has your back then? And so, but yeah, I'm open book. We talk to every single guy, you know, regardless. But if a guy was trying to make a decision on the portal, they can come talk to us. And I wouldn't forget that, you know, we do a great job here of graduating players, and we don't slow down graduations. And if they've graduated, they can still go in the portal, right? The whole, they can, in training camp, they can go in the portal. So it's kind of an open conversation the whole time. So we're going to go leave here and recruit. And we're going to recruit all day tomorrow. And then we're going to gonna go honor the student athletes at the night at the lead tomorrow night. And then Monday, Tuesday, we'll start the process.
I know a couple more games, but I feel like Dell maybe focus out forward today versus the rest of the spring.
You know, today, I saw a burst in him. I haven't seen that long run from him in the other scrimmages. Now, you know, maybe it was blocked better. Maybe Tony didn't blitz as much today. Maybe it was a little simple. I didn't tell Tony what he could or couldn't do, but maybe he played it. But it was great to see that from Dante. You know, he's had a good spring, but I saw, you know, you saw a burst. Kind of where I stand down there, you could see like a level of acceleration into contact and that long run down the left sideline. So some really good things. You know, you have I think, a pretty deep running back. We saw Maurice Mazzucca make, I saw a spin move that he made, was a fantastic run. Big fan of Kenneth Williams. I think Kenneth is a guy who's going to play here in some different ways. But Dante, Emmett, you know, I kind of sidelined Emmett at one point, so that's enough from you. And, you know, during practice this week, you know, Ramir took a lot of reps in one of the practices, and boy, he looked good in kind of the no-huddle stuff that we're doing. So get Gabe Irvin back. I think it's a deep room. We'll have to do a good job as coaches, but of figuring out what each guy does really well. I think we have a good feel for it. But I was really pleased, Sam, to see some of the things Dante did today that, you know, just a flash and a burst maybe I hadn't felt as the season, as the spring's run on.
What's your level of comfort with the amount of tampering you're seeing?
It is what it is. It is what it is. Yeah, they're gonna call D-Bell and say, come here, come there. But when he's hurt, who's in there with him? We are. So I'm just going to coach them all like they're my younger brother. You know, I don't like to say sons because that, you know, that's a weird dynamic. I coach them all like they're my younger brother, you know, hard on them probably, you know, like an older brother is. Try to give them advice, try to listen to them, help them through this. I mean, sometimes they offer you so much money, you got to leave, you know, and coaches complain about it. My assistant coaches do the same thing to me. Hey, coach, I got this offer to go there. So, you know, I just want them all to be successful. And so, but, you know, it's a sad state. I'll just say that. It's just a sad state. But it is what it is, man. And you know what? A lot of people want to come here too. And a lot of people want to stay here. So roster numbers are certainly not going to be our issue in terms of having enough good players. You know, and I hope everyone saw that today. Like, you saw a lot of guys flashing and doing some things. And maybe I'm thinking through three scrimmages, but we have a lot of depth. I mean, how about Keelan Smith made some big time catches down the stretch in there. So I think we have a lot of guys that can make plays.
Anything else, Coach?
Yesterday during the storms, obviously come through the whole state, but for you personally, where were you and how close were you to getting in?
Well, I was in the stadium. You know, we had recruiting going on. I know some of my neighbors out there in Waverly, and some of you were kind enough to, you know, even check on us as those things. I don't know that I even realized what was happening. I was in the middle of recruiting, and you know, your phone's kind of going off, but everyone was in the building, you know, but, you know, my daughter's called me there in Omaha. Well, my daughter called me. She's in Omaha in school, and she's in the shelter. And you know, I go out to Waverly Road, and my neighbors were certainly affected. And, you know, I talked to some friends. I talked to Eric Crouch and a couple of people up in Elkhorn, and they were affected. So, but I was here. Obviously, you know, we weren't directly affected. But, you know, just a sad thing to see.
Okay.
Thank you guys for all the spring. Thanks for everything you guys do. Appreciate you guys.